We got out of the car and walked over to one of the cottages. Inside, the walls were white tile, and the building had a disinfectant smell to it. The first-floor lobby opened up to a recreation room, filled with some 75 boys, sitting around waiting for the lunch bell to be sounded. What caught my eye immediately was one of the bigger boys on a chair in the corner, cradling one of the other boys, 14 or 15 years old, cuddling him in his arms. They all turned to look as we entered, and some of the bolder ones came over and stared at me. "Don't mind them," he said, seeing my expression. "They won't hurt you." The woman in charge of the floor, a large-boned, handsome woman with rolled-up shirt sleeves and a denim apron over her starched white skirt, came up to us. At her belt was a ring of keys that jangled as she moved, and only when she turned did I see that the left side of her face was covered by a large, wine-colored birthmark.
"Didn't expect any company today, Ray," she said. "You usually bring your visitors on Thursdays."
"This is Mr. Gordon, Thelma, from Beekman University. He just wants to look around and get an idea of the work we're doing here."
"I knew it wouldn't make any difference with you, Thelma. Any day is all right with you."
"Yeah."
She laughed strongly. "But Wednesday we turn the mattresses. It smells a lot better here on Thursday." I noticed that she kept to my left so that the blotch on her face was hidden. She took me through the dormitory, the laundry, the supply rooms, and the dining hall, now set and waiting for the food to be delivered from the central commissary. She smiled as she talked, and her expression and the hair piled in a bun high on her head made her look like a Lautrec dancer, but she never looked straight at me. I wondered what it would be like living here with her to watch over me.
"They're pretty good here in this building," she said. "But you know what it is. 300 boys, 75 on a floor, and only 5 of us to look after them. It's not easy to keep them under control, but it's a lot better than the untidy cottages. The staff there doesn't last very long. With babies, you don't mind so much, but when they get to be adults and still can't care for themselves, it can be a nasty mess."
"You seem to be a very nice person," I said. "The boys are fortunate to have you as their house supervisor." She laughed heartily, still looking straight ahead, and showed her white teeth.
"No better or worse than the rest. I'm very fond of my boys. It's not easy work, but it's rewarding when you think how much they need you."
The smile left her for a moment.
"Normal kids grow up too soon, stop needing you, go off on their own, forget who loved them and took care of them. But these children need all you can give. All of their lives."
She laughed again, embarrassed at her seriousness.
"It's hard work here, but worth it."
Back downstairs, where Winslow was waiting for us, the dinner bell sounded, and the boys filed into the dining room. I noticed that the big boy who had held the smaller one in his lap was now leading him to the table by the hand.
"Quite a thing," I said, nodding in that direction.
Winslow nodded too.
"Jerry's the big one, and that's Dusty. We see that sort of thing often here. When there's no one else who has time for them, sometimes they know enough to seek human contact and affection from each other."